Amen. Thanks for taking that time of silence with us. Also, I just wanted to make mention of something that Kiva just mentioned, which is that email we're starting to send out. It's an experiment. I don't know if you've seen the email. I don't know if you're subscribed, but we are sending out this new weekly email where we just will let you know everything that's happening in the church. It's very brief for those of you who received it. How many of you received that email? Some of you have, yeah. Yeah, it was painful. It was really painful, not to put a lot of words in there, but we did it. Right, Ben? I don't know if Ben's here. By the way, it's also Tim Caffey's birthday today. Where is Tim? Oh, there's Tim. Tim loves this, by the way. Everyone, let's just all look at Tim. Tim, how old? No, okay, we won't do that. Anyway. Did someone say 16? 17? 18? Okay. Well, happy birthday, Tim. We're grateful for you. All right, we're going to take a break from our Hebrews series, which I'm sure is a bit of a disappointment to you. Maybe it's not. I don't know if it is or not, but we're going to take a break today because I want to talk about vision. This morning, we want to dip out of our Hebrews series so we could talk a little bit about where the church is going. And so if you're new with us this morning, this is your chance to kind of take a peek into the inside workings of this church. If you've been coming for a little bit and you're like, what is this church all about? What are we all doing? What are we going to all do together? Well, this is the message for you. This is kind of like a family message, and we are most certainly warmly welcoming you to join it. And as we talk about mission, I just want to ask a question. First question, have you ever said yes to something that changed your life? You ever said yes to something? Maybe it was late on a Friday night and your friend called you or texted you and said, hey, you should come to this party with me. And you're like, no, I've got a long night planned ahead with me and my phone, so I do not want to go. But then like, no, you should just go. Come on, it'll be fun. Let's go together. And so then you were like, reluctantly, I will go. I will put on pants and I will make myself presentable and I'll go to this party. Then you meet this person who, lo and behold, becomes a friend for the rest of your life. And you were glad that you said yes. Or maybe you said yes to a date. Maybe you said yes to going to a concert of a band you'd never heard of. And then you found the soundtrack of your life. Matt Dobschutz, are you here, Matt? Matt, do you remember when we went to Ned's Atomic Dustbin in the 90s at the Metro? Do you remember that? It's my first concert I'd ever been to because I grew up playing classical music. So I'd always go to orchestra halls, but instead, Matt took me to a place and I was like, where are all the seats? And well, you don't sit down and when you see concerts like this. And it was just a big block of concrete that we stood on and we watched this band, two bass players, changed my life. Okay. Maybe you said yes to going on a missions trip. Anybody go on a missions trip that ever changed your life? Ever go away on a trip to a different country to share the good news of Jesus? You came back, you were a different person, you got a global perspective all of a sudden. You cared about what was happening in the world because you went on this trip. Our youth group is going on a trip to Guatemala. When are they going? Yeah, March 22nd, okay. So I'm sure that the youth group would love for you to pray for them. They're going to go on this trip, and I guarantee that some of those youth will go on that trip, will come back, and they'll never be the same. Yeses have a way of changing us, don't they? And you know what I'm getting at. You know that the most important yes maybe that you've ever said was to Jesus. Can you take a moment, remember that yes? Just take a moment, remember the yes. Whether it was gradual or whether it was like me on a starry humid night in Michigan when I was 12 years old and my youth pastor said, hey, all you need to do is pray this prayer. And I prayed the prayer with him and I cried on a starry humid night in Michigan at this Korean immigrant church. I met God for the first time really in a really powerful way and I got more than I bargained for. How many of you can say that too? Because yeses have a way of doing that, don't they? You say yes to something, you get more than you bargained for. Yeses have a way of changing us. Yeses actually, I believe, sit at the core of what it means to be a Christian. If you are to be a follower of Jesus Christ, maybe you could just describe being a follower of Jesus Christ simply this: I say yes to God. Whenever God asks, whatever God tells me to do, I say yes, and I say yes unreservedly. Not yes like, well, let's bargain. No, yes unreservedly sits at the core of what it means to be a Christian person. It's all throughout the scriptures. Abraham said yes. We have some artwork. Throw that up. Abraham said yes to a journey, and in so doing became the father of many nations. Queen Esther's yes said, when she said yes, it saved the Hebrew people. The Virgin Mary said yes in her encounter with God through the angel Gabriel, and in so doing, through her yes, the whole universe was changed. Jesus entered the world, and of course we know that Jesus said yes in the garden, didn't he? He said yes. Where would we be without that yes? And of course, yes is continued. Apostle Paul said yes on the road to Damascus, and so became the winged messenger of the gospel to the non-Jewish world. That could keep going on and on. There's probably no more important word that you can say to God than yes. And so let me ask you, would you say yes to God right now? Just vocalize it. Everyone, let's all together. This, by the way, is from Psalm 84. So I don't know if you ever get a chance to look at this, but it's a woodcut from this person that I really admire. Anyway, Psalm 84. Yes. Can we do that one more time? And Connor, can I ask you to come up here and help me with my mic? Because it seems to be making a lot of noise. Could we all say yes one more time?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, that's right. And we say yes to Jesus. Everyone, let's all say yes together. Yes. Yes, Jesus. You might be wondering why we do this all the time. This is my assistant, Connor. No, he's not really. He's actually trying to help me out. Fixing. I think that works.
Yeah, it should be fine.
Okay. You know why? Thank you, Connor. Thank you. You know, it's kind of interesting. We ask you to talk out loud all the time around here, don't we? Some of you have sent us comments saying, please don't make us do that ever again. Especially that part, that bit where you ask us to turn to our neighbor and say something to our neighbor, and you're like, oh gosh, please. I'm extremely introverted. I thought I could just slip in and I could just leave. Well, we ask you to do that kind of speaking for a couple reasons. The first reason is because we think that when we put words on our lips and we say them over and over again and we use our bodies to do it, it actually changes us in a certain kind of way, which is why we preach the Lord's Prayer, or why we pray the Lord's Prayer every Sunday. We're hoping that those words sort of do more than just something we're saying, but actually go and rattle around in your heart and maybe become the kind of prayer that you pray when you don't have anything to pray. That's why we do it. And we also ask you to turn to your neighbor and say something to them, because we are a church. So our hope is that when you come, you would get to know someone, that someone would get to know you, that you would actually be in a community. Now, we're a large place. There's over 1,100 people that come here on a Sunday, and we know that it can be easy to come in and to leave and for no one to say hello to you. And so that's why we sometimes have you turn toward one another. And we will, this is probably bad news, we will still keep doing that. Okay? We will still keep doing that. But I promise, it won't be more than 3 or 4 times a message. Or one time, I'm okay. So, I think about the yeses that sit at the center of our identity as the Evanston Vineyard. I think about Steve and Cindy and their yes. I think about Bill, who's here. Bill. I remember when I first went to Bill's office, I walked into his office and I saw a diploma on the wall and it said Yale University on it. And I remember thinking, why is he doing this? Wasn't he doing something else? I mean, he's an accomplished Yalee. Bill's one of the smartest people that you would ever meet. But Bill said his yes to the kingdom. And my life has changed. because of it. Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Bill. I want to tell you about my most recent yes. Because it sort of sits at the center or the core of our mission. I was on this past summer, 2024, I was on one of those prayer walks where I was walking around the block and I was complaining. So you call them prayer walks, they're pity walks for me. I was just complaining, I was walking around the block. We had just hired Tim, whose 18th birthday was today. And I thought, like, okay, well, he signed a 4-year contract. I want a 4-year contract. And I was just walking around the block thinking, 4 years would be nice, wouldn't it? And then I could retire and do what is my dream of being a barista at Starbucks, and I could just 4 years, why can't I have a 4-year contract? I wasn't even praying. I was just walking around the block thinking that. I don't even know why I was walking around the block. I don't like being outside. For some reason, I was walking around the block, and all of a sudden, I just hear the voice of the Lord. All of a sudden, I feel like God tells me, how many prophetic words will you need before you say yes to this school? And I stopped in my tracks. I looked around. How many prophetic words do you need before you say yes to this school? And I've gotten a lot of those, by the way. A lot of people came up to me saying, hey, the Evanston Vineyard, it's a place where training is supposed to happen. What about the school? Now, the school is something I had been dreaming about for a while. I mean, it's on the heels of some of the things that had happened in my prayer life. Like, so you see, when I got here in June of 2019, and Steve asked me, well, for your first Sunday, we'd like you to preach your vision. And while I had no vision, for those of you who remember, maybe you didn't know that, and now you're hearing that, and it's kind of unpleasant. But anyway, June 2019, I remember Steve comes into the office that I was staying in, which was Bill's old office, and Steve was like, you should preach your vision. And I thought, okay, well, June 9, 2019, I'll preach my vision. I had no vision. So then I preached, we will listen to God for vision. And if you were here back then, you probably heard me saying that we would do what we always have done, which is listen. And when God calls, we would say, yes. But I had no idea what I was here for. I was just here out of obedience. It was very, very clear to me that I was supposed to come here to the Evanston Vineyard. It was very, very clear to me, 10 or 11 different people who had no idea what was happening gave me words, called me, tested me, said, hey, for some reason I was praying for you and you need to end up at the Evanston Vineyard. Well, a couple of them said that. A lot of them said, the next change is coming for you. And God confirmed it in so many different ways. So I was only here at the Evanston Vineyard because I was trying to be obedient. And then I knew that there was this process, this 9-month process that I would go through with the members. And then because of our bylaws, the members would eventually end up voting whether this was a good idea or not. And I thought, okay, well, I'm set up for a 9-month interview, and who knows what will happen at the end of it. And I'm just here out of obedience. And so then I went to this conference, this Vineyard National Conference in Dayton, Ohio, and for 45 minutes. After one of the sessions, I got touched by the Holy Spirit in such a way that I just knew that whether or not I would get voted in, it didn't matter. I just knew at that moment, in those 45 minutes, all of a sudden my heart turned toward Chicago. And I just knew that whether I would get voted in or not, I could never leave Chicagoland. So 9 months later, fast forward, COVID happens. And the Saturday after we shut down in-person services, there was a vote. Many of you voted for me. Well, thank you. I think. I'm kidding. But it really, that vote was really just confirmation. It really felt immaterial. The thing that I felt like I was here to do was to be an instrument, to say yes in whatever costly way that God would ask me to saying yes to this city and to its outlying suburbs, to say yes to a dream that this city and its suburbs would bend its heart to God. That's why I was here. I didn't just feel like I was called to the church. I felt like I was called to the city. I've always had a love affair with Chicago. I've always loved the city. Even in February, I've loved it. I've loved it when it's cold. I've loved it when it's hot. There are a couple weeks in August when my love affair gets very, very tricky. But for the most part, I've always loved this city, and I've always wondered if I would be back here. And all of a sudden, I was like back here, and God made it very clear, well, you're here for a reason. I have a plan for this city, and I want you to help. And then shortly after that, I'm like, well, how does that happen? How does all of Chicagoland bend its heart toward God? How does that actually work? I didn't know how that would work. And then I felt like I got the how too. I felt in one of my prayer times, I was praying to God, and I just felt like the Lord told me, this is how it happens. The legacy of the Evanston Vineyard is its future. The legacy of the Evanston Vineyard is its future. Now, what's the legacy of the Evanston Vineyard, you might be asking? Well, if you ask anybody from around the world, what is the legacy of the Evanston Vineyard, they would tell you it's pretty much one thing, and one thing alone, its leaders. This church has always taken in people, trained them, and sent them out. The list is too many to name. I was texting with Steve. I said, how many church plants or leaders do you think that this church has sent out? And he said, probably over 100. He said, probably like about 25 church plants, probably over 100 leaders. We have got some pictures of some of those leaders here. Andy and Harmony Smith, who are in Belfast City Vineyard. We've got Rand and Amy Tucker, who are at the Hyde Park Vineyard. I went to seminary. Oh, there's John and Sue Smart. John, who is a vicar, who leads an Anglican church in northern London. Ian and Sue Pritchard. Some of you remember and might recall them. Jim and Megan Bleakley. The list goes on and on. Do we have another picture? No, okay. Well, I couldn't find all 100, but I could find some of them. These are the many, many people that have been called to plant or to pastor or to lead churches or to lead kingdom enterprises all over the world. The legacy of the Evanston Vineyard is that we have taken those folks in and we have trained them. And I believe that our future is to do the same, to take people, to take leaders in, to train those leaders for the benefit of this church and to maybe send them out. And I think that's why we need a school. I won't talk for a long time about the state of theological education in the U.S. right now, but more or less and less people are seeming to go to seminary. More and more people need training. And so our dream is to start some kind of school where we end up training people, young and old, who feel the call to help us do the magnificent thing that we're called to do, which is to bring about the restoration of our city and its suburbs. Our future is to do what we have always done, which is to take in people from all over the world who want to be trained. Maybe they'll stay here, as some have, for the benefit of our church. Maybe they'll leave, as some have, for the benefit of the spread of the gospel all throughout the world. I just know that we're supposed to say yes. I'm supposed to say yes to doing whatever we can to do the school. And here's the funny thing about the school. I started sharing the mission of the school to some folks. And I remember I went up to Steve and I said, Steve, I was doing this pity walk, and I was just walking around, you know, and I was thinking, I just want a 4-year contract. And Steve looked at me and said, what do you mean 4-year contract? And I said, well, you know, I mean, I was just feeling certain. No, you don't have a 4-year contract. It's more like a 20-year contract. I said, I know, Steve, I know, okay, but anyway, I mean, I know, Steve, but like, I was thinking about the school. And he was like, you know, I was just going to ask you about the school. I've been thinking about that school too. Why the school? We want to do what we always have done, which is When we think about our mission, how do you change a city? How do you change its suburbs? We think about the mission this way. We think, well, we'll take in everyone and anyone that would come and be trained, and we'll train them up, and we'll send them out to do the thing that God has called them to do. Many will stay, many will go, but that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to have the kind of place where we can train theologically and practically people who will be pastors, people who will plant churches. You know, there's a crisis right now in pastoring. I don't know if you know this or not. Many, many people don't want to be pastors. I can't imagine why not. But many, many people don't want to be pastors. They're like, well, to be a pastor now means that you have to stack all these types of responsibilities. You need to be a decent preacher. Decent. Like my friends and I joke about this preaching thing. We're like, well, you don't have to be awesome, but you can't be bad, is what we say. And so that's my goal. I don't have to be awesome, but I can't be bad, okay? But then you also have to be a social critic. And then you also have to know the vagaries of what it means to navigate identity politics. And then you also have to be a person who can say the right thing about social justice and also say the right thing about what it means to be Orthodox in your faith. You have to be a person who's emotionally healthy. And then these roles haven't just switched, they've all stacked. So being a pastor is pretty difficult these days. I'm not asking you to feel sorry for me. I'm just telling you that more and more people don't want to be pastors nowadays. But that's not the case in our church. I got all sorts of people that are like, I'd like to be a pastor. And I'm always like, are you sure? And I'm like, yes, I really would like to be a pastor. I feel like the call is on my life to help spread the gospel wherever God calls me to. And I'm like, would you think long and hard about that? Are you sure? And they're like, no, I'm sure. I'm sure. People want to be pastors here. And I think that's for a reason. I think it's because God has always called this church to take those people, to train them, to love them, to raise them up so that they would benefit us and also benefit the church all throughout the world. It's not like that at other churches, I have to tell you. Other churches are like, can't find any leaders. Our predicament is we don't have enough space for all of them. So what do? Over the past year, a few things have emerged. This Vineyard Chicagoland Church Planting Network has started over the last 6 months or so. I have been plotting and dreaming with Rand Tucker, the person that you just saw up there on screen, who's the Hyde Park senior pastor, and we have been plotting to plant churches all throughout the city. We also pray with Vineyard Chicagoland pastors every Thursday at 12:30 p.m. Every Thursday, 12:30 p.m., whoever can show up, we get on a Zoom, and we pray. And we're praying for 1 million people to call on Jesus as Lord in our city. That's what we're praying. And so our dream is to do lots of things. Our dream is to take churches where pastors are retiring, to help those churches, to plant new ones, to plant churches that hold the center on all of these things. We want to be a church that's contemplative. We want to be a church that's charismatic. We want to be a church that's egalitarian. What that means is that means that women can do anything that men can do in the life of the church, and frequently they do it better. Also, we're Orthodox. We have held to the historic church tradition when it comes to our beliefs, and we will always do so. We want to be diverse, we want to be justice-oriented, we want to be emotionally healthy. These are the kind of churches that Vineyards are. And guess what? There's not a lot of those kind of churches out there. I don't know if you've noticed. People are asking, I want to find a church like yours, but I live in Naperville, or I live over here, or I live over there, or I live in these different places, you know. We need to plant some churches. Our hope is to raise up leaders to plant. Our hope is to raise up leaders to go with people who are planting. Our hope is to be the kind of healthy church that reproduces healthy churches. And so we've got a dream. Now, this is a map of existing Vineyard churches in Chicagoland. So there's quite a bit of churches, but you notice that there are like sort of four churches kind of in that real, that sort of narrow band that kind of lives pretty close to Lakeshore Drive. We've got a dream to maybe in the next 5 to 10 years plant a few others. And we'll throw up some pictures. We've got some church plants that we're hoping will happen maybe in Beverly. maybe in Bronzeville. I don't know what that is, by the way. That's pretty cool. Has anyone ever visited that or seen that? I guess that's a train. Some of you have. Yeah, Bronzeville. Our hope is to plant something in Bronzeville. Our hope is to plant something. We keep going. In Lakeview, Uptown. In Oak Park. You know, we used to have a really vibrant Vineyard Church in Oak Park. Maybe we could have one again. Portage Park. Some of you live in Portage Park. Our hope is to plant in Portage Park. Oh, we're gathering people for the church planting team. Who just clapped? I think our yes is to be the kind of healthy church that reproduces healthy leaders, that reproduce healthy churches. I think our yes is to say yes to the thing that Jesus commissioned us at the end of Matthew 28. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And here comes the promise. I'm with you always to the very end of the age. I think God is asking us to say yes to that. It probably doesn't surprise you, though, that yeses are costly, does it? When you say yes to something, everybody knows it. The good yeses have so many benefits and so many blessings, and they also have costs to them. You think about Abraham's yes. Was that costly to him? It was. Think about Queen Esther's yes, which could have sent her to her death. Think about Mother Mary's yes, which ended up bringing public shame to her as a young teenager. Think about Jesus's yes, costing him his life. Think about the Apostle Paul's yes, costing him the raft of learning that he had accumulated, the status that he had as a Pharisee. He left all of that behind. Every yes costs us something. John Wimber, the founder of our movement, said this: every time we cross a new threshold, costs us everything we now have. Every new step may cost us all the reputation and security we have accumulated to that point. It costs us our life. A disciple is always ready to take the next step. Yeses are costly. And so here I am today asking you, what's your yes? What is your yes? How are you saying yes to Jesus? It feels pretty clear for me as I think about the leadership of this church and as I think about all that God plans to do here in Chicago. I believe it will happen. I mean, there's been so much confirmation along the way. But it doesn't surprise you probably that in order for all of this to happen, all the things that I mentioned, including, by the way, the small number of 1 million, that it requires all of us to say yes. My ask this morning is that you would say yes to joining Jesus in our mission. My ask this morning is that you would say yes to the thing we're saying yes to. My ask is that it would be all hands on deck as we do this. And I want to tell you three ways that I think you can say yes, really briefly. First way, join us in praying. We have just started this over the last quarter or so, but we have been praying. Kylie gathers people to pray every Saturday morning at 8:30. We're praying for our church, and we're praying for our leaders, and we're also praying for the spread of the gospel all throughout Chicagoland. Also, we have these quarterly meetings. We have our next night of prayer where we gather everyone together and we invite all the Vineyards from Chicagoland to come. We pray. The next one will be May 9th at 7 p.m. For those of you who want to mark your calendars, that's pretty far away. Hopefully you're not busy. We'd love for you to come. Another thing that we want to ask you to say yes to is service. Might you say yes to serving? There are a lot of things that happen in the life of our church. We have all sorts of different kinds of things, but I just want to highlight our next generation ministries. We have an amazing kids ministry, Pastor Iris. But she needs volunteers. She needs the help. She needs help. I mean, you might come here and you might think, well, this is a large church. They seem like they have everything well in hand. And I can tell you, well, we kind of don't. We need your help. Would you help us in Kids Church. I know that Iris would love to talk to you. If you stand up right now, no, not right now, I'm just kidding. And you go over there and you talk to Iris, maybe she could use your help. I think about Limitless in our middle school and Corinne, who now leads our middle school. I know that she needs volunteers. I think about Autumn. Hello, Autumn. Autumn, whom you all know, he also could use some help. I think about all the next generation ministries. There's a lot of other ministries, and you can look at them on the wall, the Dream Team wall as you go out. It's right next to the bathrooms. You can see all the different ways that you can volunteer. We got these bookmarks actually as well, too, that we're about to pass out. And these bookmarks will sort of give you everything that I'm about to say and I'm saying right now. They'll give you the map. On one side of the map will be all the places we hope to plant. On the other side of the map, or on the other side of that bookmark, will be like different ways that you can say yes. So you can begin to pass those out now. Go ahead. The last part, of course, I'm going to ask you to give. This is the part where I talk about the subject Jesus talked about more than any other, money. I don't do this often. In fact, I think I've done this one time since I've become the pastor of this church, and I apologize. Because money has a way of holding on to our heart. You know, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talks about money. He kind of has a long lead up. He says, store up your treasures, not on earth, but store them up in heaven. And then he talks about our eyes being generous. When our eyes are generous, it fills our body up with light. And then he goes on to say, you cannot serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Here is Jesus saying, you cannot serve God and you cannot serve money. Serving God leads to freedom. It's the only thing that does. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. But serving money leads to a kind of slavery. And what is that slavery? Well, he continues and he tells us, therefore, I tell you, do not worry. This is the slavery, worry, anxiety. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? The slavery that God wants to set us free from is slavery to fear, and gives us a very straight line as to how to do it. Radically different. Our world teaches us to think that in order to meet our needs, we need to hold on to our money. But Jesus tells us, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And when you do that, all the things that you worry about will be added to you. That's the promise. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. In other words, when you put the money first, you get the worry. The kind of worry that can kill you. You know, people die because of their worry. But when you put God first, Jesus is saying, God takes care of you. If we want to learn the secret of having all that we need, we put God first and we don't put money first. And this applies to whether we have a lot of money or not. I remember when I was a poor seminary student, I learned how to give sacrificially at this church. I'm not saying also that we shouldn't save, but I think too often we hold on to our money like it can save us. And I'm here to tell you this morning that Scripture is really clear as to how we put God first. We seek his kingdom first, and we also live lives of generosity. We give sacrificially. We give generously. The Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians, set aside money for the church. The prophets tell us to bring the whole tithe to the house. Leviticus tells us to be generous to our neighbor. We seek the kingdom by becoming generous. And then, man, if I could do this, I don't have very much more time, but if I could do this, I could tell you all of the ways that we receive a reward when we give. Serving God leads to freedom from worry, but there's also God remembers every gift. There's also God delivers us. There's also God remembers our prayers, benefit after benefit, too many to name. I'm here this morning asking you to pray about giving. I want to ask you to pray about giving sacrificially, generously, for the long term to this church. It's for you. I think that's what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, this is the upside down way that the economy of the kingdom works. You give and you receive. You give and you receive richly. It's for your extraordinary benefit to be giving. I know there's many of you who have learned this secret. Ask them. And they will tell you, when you get to the other side of this thing, even though it's hard before you step into the sacrificial generous giving, which feels fraught on the other side, boy, I would never go back. If you have that testimony, man, would you give it? Would you tell it? I mean, I was just talking with Brian. Brian and I were talking about this past week. Ben and I talk about this subject regularly. It's actually good for us to give sacrificially, as astounding as that might seem. Brittany and I have always given at least 10% of our gross income to the church. If you're wondering, well, how much? I think that might be a good place to start. C.S. Lewis, by the way, he tells us this in another way. He says, if our giving does not at all pinch or hamper us, I should say it is too small. For many of us, the great obstacle to giving lies not in our luxurious living or desire for more money, but in our fear. Fear of insecurity. God wants to set you free from that fear. And he gives us a very, very clear way of doing that. It lies in the very hard, counterintuitive thing of giving. You know, like the person who doesn't believe in Christ gives for all sorts of reasons. They give to be altruistic. They give to demonstrate their own perceived goodness. They give out of their surplus. But the Christian gives not because of those reasons necessarily, but because of freedom. We give first before anything else comes out of our paycheck because giving leads to freedom from the kind of fear that Lewis is talking about, the fear of insecurity. And so my ask of you, and I'm running out of time, is if you have not yet learned that secret, might you learn it and might you pray? I'm asking this for you. I'm also asking this for the church. We need your giving, actually. Could I just say that? Honestly, we need it. We don't have an endowment. We're not like a denominational church that buys the building and says, well, we hope you fill it. We're not part of a denomination that pays for a building. We're a member-supported church. Everything that you give goes to supporting the work that we do here, goes to supporting the work of the Vineyard USA, goes to supporting global missions partners all around the world. And you might come here and you might think, well, this is a big church. Lots of good things are happening. And you'd be right. This place is growing. You'd be right. We put out 50 chairs over there, and now we've already filled them. I mean, I'm glad you're sitting there. Don't get me wrong. We probably have to put 50 more at some point because we are growing. But this is what happens when you grow. You get a lot of people that come, a lot of new people. We're so happy that you're here. And at some point, clarity needs to be given. We need to just tell you clearly that everything that you give actually helps the mission of the church and helps the mission of Chicagoland. As normal with any growing church, with so many new people, we have to make invitations. And that's what I'm doing today. And I want to give you some numbers really quickly, if we have them. Do we have them, Connor? Last year, this much money came in, 1.7. I can't read that because my eyes are 736, something like that. And then monthly, about $144,000 came in. Very, very generous. We're so grateful for it. But that is not enough. 2025, we've set our goal at 156, which is more. It requires us to give more. We made a lot of cuts. I'm going to talk about a little bit about, I can talk a little bit more about why the numbers didn't cut, sort of are like not matching from last year to this year, despite the fact that we've cut across the board. We've cut so many, many things. But we need more. And we need for some of you, or if not all of you, many of you give generously already, but we need for you to pray about giving. And in so doing, our hope is that we would become the healthy kind of church that that reproduces and multiplies across Chicagoland. We're asking you to pray about investing in our city. Now, this is the last thing I'll say, and then we'll be done. This doesn't mean that we're all about mission. Mission, mission, mission. This doesn't mean that we're here and everything that you're going to hear about, what more can you do? What more can you do? What more can you do? We also want you to receive. But as you probably know, healthy Christian living is a balance of giving and receiving. You receive some, you give some. You give far more than you think you can. You receive far more than you could have ever imagined. That's what it means to be a Christian person. But if all you do is receive, or all you do is give, you know what the result is. If all you do is give, you'll burn out. If all you do is receive, well, you could become cynical, is what we've noticed. And so I'm just asking for balance. If you look at your life for a moment and you think, man, all I do is receive, might you think about saying yes to giving in the ways that are on that bookmark? If all you do is give, maybe it's time for you to take a hiatus and just receive a little bit. That's all we're asking for. We're just asking for you to say yes to the one who's already said yes to you, Jesus himself. Is that okay? Can I say that? All right, I'm 4 minutes over time. So let's all stand as I close us. You've got these beautiful bookmarks that you can take with you. All sorts of instructions for how you can give. We give them every week, as you can see. Take those bookmarks home. Pray about your yes. But right now, God, we say yes to you. You who have said yes to us. You, Jesus, who are the yes and amen to every single promise in this book. We say yes as much as we are able. And Spirit of God, would you help us? Would you help us in Jesus' name? Amen.